Lowe's knows tough jobs call for tougher tools. The new DeWalt Elite Series Power Tool Accessories are built to last for the pro who doesn't stop. With precision fitment, durability, and impact resistance, finishing jobs faster has never been easier. Shop the new DeWalt Elite Series at an everyday low price exclusively at Lowe's. We help, you save.
Good evening, White Sox fans. Today is Wednesday, August 27th, and I'm just going to go ahead and start this show right off with a heater because we are currently in the rubber match of a home series against the Kansas City Royals, in which I was happy to be at last night's game where we watched Martin Perez pitch an absolute gem. Only 85 pitches after seven innings. And, we saw Will Venable make a move for the pen that didn't quite work out. And it was a tough loss. And now here we are in this rubber match looking to, hopefully walk away with a series win here. But in the top of the fifth, things are not going well for the White Sox. We saw Savali get through the better part of the first half of the game and, not be too awful and go through too much. And, he started showing some signs of some distress, and they brought in Gilbert, and now we are looking at an 8-1 deficit. So, good evening, everyone. My name is Danny Miller, the gentleman that you see gracing your screens and, like I always like to say, tickling your eardrums if you're listening on the recorded version, is my partner Jake, a.k.a. Jacob Thome, a.k.a. Mr. Man, a.k.a. Technical Difficulties.
a.k.a. Technology era and still can't figure it out.
Yeah, fighting technology and losing. But anywho, how you doing tonight, man?
We're hanging in there. It's been fun. Still working on everything. Pretty sure I have an ear infection coming in, which is never fun, but I have like often ear infections and my ear hurts, so I'm sure that'll be an issue over the next couple of days, but luckily I'll be able to do the podcast today.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're here now, so
it's all that matters.
Like I said, I was gonna start this one off with a heater tonight because we're just watching them implode at the moment, but all in all, things have been a lot more fun here on the south side for the White Sox, especially at home. Road has gotten a little bit better, but still needs some work. But man, I got to tell you, bud, I spent some time at the ballpark last night. If you remember, if our listeners remember, by the way, what's up, Toss? Thanks for checking in with us. I'm not ignoring you, but we're going to get through the opening of the show here since we were already running a little bit behind. But my niece's softball team that I kind of touted a few weeks back for going to the Junior Softball Little League World Series Championship game, they were honored on the field last night before the game, which was super cool. They talked about the team and their successes, and they did a whole ceremony for them on the field. And it was super cool, man, watching them out there in the field and on the jumbo, the big screen out there and on the scoreboard. And, man, just good times. It was just good to get out for some really great weather, some great baseball. And, watch Martin Perez just absolutely carve up what is a decent Kansas City Royals lineup last night. Some of the people in my group are actually, Michael Massey for the Kansas City Royals. I don't know if you know, but he's a local kid. And his brother actually coaches one of the ladies I was with, her son. So, that was, kind of cool to be. And then, just got to see some old faces, familiar faces around the ballpark. Spent some time talking with the boys from the 108 and you know, some of the other folks I know over in that section last night as well. So, and we'll get into some of those conversations a little bit later tonight, because he only spent about 10, 12, 15 minutes over there with those guys. Obviously, he was here for, you know, my niece's thing, but conversations were interesting, to say the least. So we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But, man, what are your thoughts on last night's game before we go any further? And let's just go ahead and talk about this bullpen recently.
Yeah, let's get into it. I was calling men's soccer. So I'm just watching the score on my phone. I have a live alert on my iPhone. It's just like, you know, I'm like, oh, 5-0, cool. Somebody tweets out, you know, they haven't allowed a run and whatever, like 23 innings. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. You know, hey, we're not sucking anymore. And then, I watched like three goals go in. There was like three goals in a matter of like 10 minutes. Looked back down, and I think it was 4-2 at a point. Looked back down again, and it was like 5-4. And I was like, man, that's rough. So, yeah, I mean, it's the bullpen's weird right now. You know, in a sense, they have a decent bullpen. Like, I think they're like 10th in the MLB in like bullpen ERA, but like, it's very evident that they have a bunch of great middle relievers and need some setup guys and a closer. And I think I tweeted that out last night. It was like, it's a great bullpen if you only need to pitch the fifth and the sixth. As I say that, they just got blown up in the fifth, but yeah. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting offseason, and we'll get into it more. But yeah, what a letdown last night.
Yeah, those are the ones that hurt, right? You know, it's a division rival. We all know that the White Sox aren't supposed to be any kind of big winner this year. But when you have, I mean, maybe the best pitch game of the entire season out of a White Sox starter last night in Martin Perez, who's only just come back, right? And we thought maybe we were going to lose him for the season. And he comes back and he pitches two great games back-to-back. And last night looked like, I mean, he just looked unstoppable. He looked unbeatable. And after seven innings and only giving up one hit, no walks, handful of strikeouts, and just looked, I mean, dude, from where I was sitting, and I got to tell you, we were out in section 101, which is pretty much like one section over from the batter's eye over there out in right center field, right? And, you know, it's a long way, right? We're in like the fifth or sixth row. You're like 400 feet away from home plate. But you could just see from there how confused and how befuddled this Royals lineup was. And I get it. You know, he just came back. Again, we're talking about that injury and how we thought maybe he wasn't going to pitch at all again the rest of the season. And Will Venable makes the decision to pull him out with 85 pitches in the seventh inning, you know, after pitching the way he did. And a lot of folks today, you know, I'm reading about it, are like, what on earth was he thinking? He should have just let him go. But, you know, you can't blame Will for doing what he did, right? You've got to take a 4-run lead, a 4-0 lead, and you let it ride. You know what I mean? You've got to get 6 outs, right? So we get Jordan Leisure, we get Grant Taylor. Neither one of them had their best stuff last night. You give up 2 in the eighth, and 4 more in the ninth, or 5 more. What was it? 4? 4 in the ninth? 3 in the ninth. 3 in the ninth. And it's just it's difficult to really point the finger at Will. And I saw it happen where people were just kind of beating up on him and like, why, right? But the reality is I have to agree with you. There's really nobody in this bullpen right now that's a super high leverage pitcher. Grant Taylor's shown flashes of it, right? You know, do you try to force Winkelmann Gonzalez into a situation like that in his first, you know, taste of a high leverage situation? I don't know. I don't really think I can blame Will. It was just a night where guys couldn't get it going. I want to say that this falls back to what we talked about last week and the overuse of the bullpen by not having a starter in the fifth spot of the rotation for nearly a month. So I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that? What do you think about Venable's decision to pull Martin Perez when he did last night?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's coming off injury, right? So I would assume that factors into it. And then you have a bullpen that you have to have faith in those guys. And they just don't get the job done, unfortunately. I mean, I don't blame any of this on Will Venable. I think any manager would have done what he did. That's not a Will issue for me. That's a bullpen issue.
Do you have any issue with who he chose to bring out in that situation? Go ahead. I'll give you my thoughts afterwards, but go ahead.
He goes to Leisure, which, I mean, Leisure's an interesting pitcher. The underlying numbers say that he should be better than he is. The stuff is there. Just sometimes has issues with command. He gave up one walk last night. And then you bring in Taylor, who, like, you know, now there's a question, I think, of, like, did they bring him up too early? And he, you know, gets you out of that and then that kind of implodes in the ninth. You know, Alexander doesn't even get an out. He had been one of your better pitchers out of the pen, and then Steven Wilson finally is able to get out of it. But, yeah, I mean, I think if you were to pick four, I mean, I don't hate that four. But, yeah, it's rough. I'm more of a Leisure believer than other people, though. So,
yeah, you know, and the thing is, like you said, Leisure's numbers on paper look like he's been a bit unlucky. He throws a lot of junk, but there is the issue of command. It's been the number one demon that he's been fighting since he's been in pro baseball. You know, if you look at his minor league numbers, you know, he was carving people up, but you get up in the major leagues and these guys are just a different breed. You know, it's the best of the best. You take a pool of, you know, hundreds of teams throughout every level of minor league baseball, and that thins out the competition. And now you go up against the cream of the crop. And I don't care if you are facing guys who are only hitting a .180 in the majors. They're still major league baseball players. They're a different type. They're just at another level. And you're not going to be able to get away with not hitting your spots. And that's the biggest knock on him. And that's my issue with him right now. And my only concern with him is if he doesn't find that, how long of a leash do we give him? You know, how long? And that's one of the things I want to talk about tonight. And I know you probably wanted to talk about it too, just judging off of some of the text messages we've been sending back and forth, is the makeup of the bullpen and what it might look like, not only next year, but for the rest of the season this year.
Yeah, and, you know, we'll hit on roster expansion here because that's coming up here shortly. And it'll be interesting to see if they bring up another pitcher, or they will bring up another pitcher. But it'll be interesting to see who they bring up. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there's mentions of Peyton Paulette there. The Sox have some options in Charlotte. I know Hudson's down there. What's the dude's name? Ben Peoples is down there. If he's the right Rays reliever I'm thinking of. But, yeah, I mean, there's some options. Hudson's down there, healthy, I do believe. I know they obviously have, like, the three guys they sent off to IR. I don't know. Or to the IL. I don't know if those guys are healthy yet. But they have some options, and it'll be interesting to see who they send down. Leisure would be my guess. I would assume they let Taylor finish out the year here, but who knows? Obviously, he's got, I think, the worst ERA of all of them. But again, the underlying numbers look good, and I'm certainly not giving up on him yet. But yeah, it'll certainly be interesting to see what happens next with this bullpen.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's interesting to think about and prognosticate what exactly might be in the works. You know, are the White Sox, my question right now is, are the White Sox even really concerned about putting together a bullpen for the rest of the season. They're pretty locked in to their place in the draft, looking at records across MLB. You know, the two teams that are ahead of them are probably pretty much untouchable and also aren't going to be in the lottery because they picked in the top five last year. The team behind them, being the Rockies, pretty much untouchable there as well. Like, if the Sox, you know, just absolutely tanked, we're probably not going to catch them. So it looks like the White Sox are going to be locked in with the second highest odds for the number one draft pick, if I'm not mistaken. Or is that, do they actually end up with the number one pick ahead of Colorado for some reason?
Colorado's got the same White Sox issue. They're a big market who cannot pick in the top 10.
Okay.
So the Sox will have the best odds unless either Baltimore or Minnesota are the two to watch, and they are 11 games, 11 and a half from Baltimore. So they're good. They'll finish with the best odds.
So, yeah. So there you go. Thank you. And I knew, I was like, I just had a bit of a brain fart there. I knew Colorado can't pick number one, right? So here's the thing. Like, the point of bringing this up is do they even care? Does anybody really? And I'm going to preface this. I probably should have done this at the show, but this is the, like, if you're a parent and you got kids that doesn't want to expose them to some foul language, tonight might be the night to put a disclaimer out there. Cause I'm probably going to go off and I'm going to leave it at that. Like, if you got kids that don't want to hear me cuss, turn the show off now. Cause it's going to get ugly. Because my filter's gone tonight, and it may continue to be that way the rest of the season. Because at this point, I'm just about ready to loosen the reins a little bit and let this thing take off the way it may. Because I gotta tell you, man, I emotionally, I'm ready to dump. But anywho, do you think the White Sox front office absolutely, do they give a shit about winning games right now? Do they give a shit about who they have in their bullpen for the remainder of the season?
No, and I think you're going to, if you're bringing anybody up, it'll be for like a tryout. Like, you're not, like, Clevenger's not coming up. Like, it's going to be a young guy. Also, shout out Trey in the chat for checking in.
Yeah, Wolf, Trey, thanks for checking in tonight.
So yeah, I think it's going to be a young guy. I'm not sure who that young guy is, but I would be very shocked if it's a veteran, because they don't really, I mean, like you said, they don't care if they win these games. I mean, it's nice, right? I mean, like, you want the individual players to have success. You want Colson to keep hitting home runs. You want these guys to keep playing well. But if Aaron Civale, as I go dark, you know, gives up 30 runs his next outing, they don't care, right? As long as he gets through it.
Yeah, and I think that's it too. I think the only reason we do end up seeing a bullpen arm is just because of how taxed they are, and we really don't need to add injury to insult this season. There's been enough arm injuries. Thankfully, most of them have been early in the season, but if we start ending up with a bunch of them late in the season and guys need extreme recovery times, we are going to be looking at, you know, even worse situation next year. So I think there's a chance that we do see at least one pitching arm come up when rosters expand, right?
Hey, let's, yeah. Sorry, go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I was pretty much done. Like, I feel like that there's a, you know, we just don't want to overtax guys late in the season and start putting arms in jeopardy. And I'm not saying that having an extra guy or two, you know, we'll stop that, prevent that completely, but it will. I mean, there's probably no other way to at least try to help pitchers along by taking some of the load away from them at the end of the season here.
Yeah, I agree. Who's your pick for the position player to pitch tonight? It's 11-1 now.
Yeah, after a three-run bomb given up. I'm going to go with, I don't know. I don't know.
My answer was going to be Michael A. Taylor, but he's in center, so he can't pitch.
Yeah, and
what does Curtis mean after a fastball?
Without Luis Robert, I think it might be Curtis Meade, because haven't we seen Curtis Meade throw once or twice already this year?
I don't know. No, he just got here. There's no way.
I feel
you're thinking of Vinny Capra.
Well, yeah, he's
Curtis Meade, I guess.
He gone.
Could be Will Robertson. Corey Could Lee. Be. Those, I think, are your three options. Who's the bench bat missing?
Who else is...
Anyway, I'm missing one. I don't know who I'm missing. It's
Brooks Baldwin.
No, I think Baldwin's in the game. Also, Baldwin's not listed on the ESPN roster.
That's weird. Baldwin, well, I know Benintendi was playing in...
Colson. Colson. Colson's the other bench bat, but Colson's hurt.
Yeah. It's okay.
All right. That was the weirdest tangent. I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine because, no, you're right. I mean, chances are now here we are. Another three-run shot given up. It's now 11-1, and, you know, what's the point, right? You might as well. Yeah. Might as well throw up. But, I mean, it's only the sixth inning, so you can't.
You can't throw them now. You got to wait.
You got to get through a couple innings before you do that first. You know, otherwise you're going to run out of players, and then you're going to start using bullpen pitchers anyway. You know what I mean? So Vassell should get through. I mean, he's another one. I really like his stuff, and I like his makeup. He seems to come in ready to go. But there are times where it's like he's one of those ones where he's either on or he's not. You know what I mean? And you know it within the first handful of pitches. So, yeah, I'd like to see a little more consistency out of the bullpen. But like you said, I mean, sitting 10, the way they started off the season, the first month and a half, where just it was just a tumultuous start for the bullpen. And then we found some level of consistency from like mid-June until now, or even maybe early June. Until, you know, the last few weeks, and it, you know, there's just tax, but, to be sitting 10th with that sandwich hotspot in the middle, it still isn't bad. It just tells you how good it was for that period. Now we're seeing the issues of being overworked, and it doesn't look like Vassell has his stuff tonight. I'm just going to say that right now. he's throwing like he's gassed already, but. That's just me.
Probably this dude has, what, like 60, 70 innings already?
He's oof. Anywho.
I don't have the game on, by the way.
So, what were we talking about? We were talking about, I'm lost. Oh, the bullpen and, like, what we expect. I think we pretty much covered our expectations on that and, you know, what we might think would be coming, but, or at least, you know, for the rest of the season, we've been talking about the plethora of injured arms in the White Sox system, up to this point. But, as far as the off season goes, if you're GM, let's just let you play armchair GM for a minute here. What are you focusing on bullpen arms this offseason? Are you looking for guys to bring in? Are you leaning heavily on the system? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think a good reclamation project makes sense. Like Devin Williams to me makes sense. I should say it'll be interesting to see if he wants to go to the White Sox. Like you have to sell him on that ability. But like, if you can turn him around, you could flip him at the deadline for something pretty big. And that's why I think bullpen arms make sense. You could sign these guys. And then if you're not as competitive as they won't be next off season, I think you just move on from those guys. But yeah, like they could use a couple back end guys. I know like Devin Williams kind of ambitious, but like Kenley, if he doesn't retire, makes sense. There's a couple of older like back end bullpen guys. That have just been doing it for a while. They could use a veteran in the room. But I think you only need two. And I think Elijah was talking about this yesterday. You know, like Baroa is coming back next year. He's a guy, I believe, in the back end. And then you just kind of have your choice of middle relievers. They have plenty of them. So, yeah, I would just pick up one setup guy and a closer in that bullpen.
You know, the other thing, too, is the White Sox have a handful of guys in the system right now that I feel like maybe aren't going to make the cut as a starter in MLB. Guys that have shown some successes in years past, but maybe have taken a little step in the bucket this year, shown a little bit of regression. Jairo Iriarte is a guy that I could see being a bullpen pitcher, just specifically when he's healthy, he's going to come out throwing BBs. The guy has, I mean, it's like lightning bolts from his hand, right? And I think he's the type of guy, if you can work him up to the type of player where he has the makeup to be able to come into a game and just go, could be, in my opinion, a high leverage back end guy. It just, you know, my thought. I don't know. But I think, Wolf is on the same page with you with the Prelander. Looking forward to that, actually, because I've always been a big fan of him. Prelander, Baroa, huge stuff. But, I mean, there's a bunch of guys. But at the same time, if there's any saying that can't be said enough, is when you're a Major League Baseball club, there is no such thing as too much pitching, ever. As you can look at any team across the major leagues and look at the amount of injuries and the amount of arms that are used, nobody is comfortable with everything they've got, right? So I think that you have to at least take a look at the market and what you can get. And I'm not necessarily sure that you necessarily have to do reclamation projects at this point. And I'll get into why very shortly here. But I'm going to leave that kind of up in the air, and I'll leave you guys guessing on why I think that just for a few minutes. So what do you got next on the docket for us tonight, Jake? I know you had some things you wanted to talk about and get off your chest. I'll give this segue in the next segment to you.
Yeah, White Sox Dave on Twitter put out that there is a rumor that the Sox, or he has sources that say the Sox will not spend this offseason. It'll be another light offseason. Do you think that's a mistake? Should they be waiting another year? Do you believe that? Do you think it's, you know, what is the thought process there for you?
So I guess that kind of leads me into exactly what I was going to hold off on, but I'm going to back that train up. I'm going to answer with another thing. So Sox on 35th, probably only a day or two after our last show, they have a writer, but it goes by the name of Nick, which I think is, it might be a pen name, but don't quote me on that. He wrote an article about Ishbia, and what's up, Big Bob's Beepers?
What a name.
We have a new chatter with an awesome name. So good evening, sir. Good to see you. Thanks for checking in. I have no idea, but
my screen's not big enough to figure out what that is. Smaller.
I'm gonna leave it up there for a minute. I don't even know what that is, but I'm gonna say this about what I read. And he wrote this article about Ishbia and how, you know, some folks, including us, have kind of gone out and said we're hoping that maybe the Ishbia money gets injected somewhere into the free agency pool, right? And maybe we go out and we make some moves. And, you know, you and I have been kind of talking about how we feel like, especially me more so than either one of us, but I feel like Justin Ishbia, being the guy that he is and the money that he has, and looking at what his brother has done in Phoenix with the Suns, is going to be a guy who's not going to want to sit and wait until, like, let's say at the very longest end of this run of, you know, to 2034 when he can actually take full control of the White Sox. And we were talking like 8 or 9 years at this point. I don't see him being able to sit back and wait that long. And we have talked about how we feel like he's probably going to inject money into the club sooner rather than later. And all the reports until this point was like he's going to pay down some debt, which, again, I don't really believe the White Sox have a lot of debt. And he's going to, you know, he's going to inject money other ways, infrastructure and whatnot. There's, you know, whispers of possible, you know, new stadium money. You know, we look at the $12 million complex down in the Dominican that people are suspecting that's his. But here's the way I look at it. And this is one of the conversations I was having with the guys in the 108 last night at the game, live and in person. And me and Beef were laughing pretty hard when I mean, he was like, man, he's like, what do you think about this? He's like, we got Ishbia money, dude. Like, what's going to happen? And I was like, bro, I don't know. And then I brought up the Dominican thing and, you know, Bruhan Luke was there and he's like, dude, he's like $12 million for, and he's like, that's like pocket lint for this guy. And I get the feeling looking at this guy, looking at Ishbia and who he is. I mean, he will be the second richest owner in baseball behind Steve Cohen. And we see what Steve Cohen's done with the Mets, right? And I get the feeling like big hedge fund manager, super uber rich between him and his brother. I see the scene in Wolf of Wall Street in my head when they're on the yacht and the two FBI guys are on the yacht with him. And he just starts flipping money off the side of the boat, just flipping hundreds like it's making it rain. And he's like, he's got fuck you money. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I call them fun coupons. You know, fucking here, take some lobsters for your ride home on the fucking subway, you mooks. Like, dude, if I'm Jonathan Ishbia, how can I not invest in this ball club? And we're looking at a payroll that is going to be minuscule, even if you hold on to Luis Robert Jr. And now with Luis Robert Jr. going through another injury, makes you question whether or not they pick up that $20 million option. So if they don't pick up that $20 million option, you're looking at $17 million or so on the books for next year. You could go out and you don't even need Ishbia money.
Yeah, you need Jerry money.
You don't need Ishbia money to go out there and put together an $80 million payroll, still be on the bottom third of baseball, and bring in a couple of guys who could help this team. So that was just a really long way to answer your question. But yes, I do believe we can go out and spend some money.
Yeah, and I believe you're right. And like the big thing for me is like they could go legitimately be the top offer for Schwarber, Alonso, and Tucker and like be comfortably under $150 million.
Yeah.
Like that's how much money the White Sox, like that's how little minuscule money the Sox have coming in next year.
Right. And the thing is, you know, I brought up that article and that article was like, well, you know, don't expect it from Ishbia because if he's going to start injecting money, you know, he still has shares that he has to buy in the future to take the controlling interest. And like every time he puts money into the team and the evaluation of the team gets better, like those shares are going to cost him more money in the long run. I would argue against that pretty hardly. And I'll say why. Because if you look at, and I'm going to use San Diego as an example, because if you look at what San Diego was doing right before they went out and they started signing guys like Manny Machado to monster contracts when we were going after them, they had a new investment group come in and buy that team. A team that was supposedly so far, they'd been operating in the red so badly for so long that they had a huge amount of debt. And this investment group came in, paid off that debt. And then they took that, and not only did they pay off that debt, but they started rebuilding, build a new stadium, and they build an area around the stadium, this full ballpark experience, right? Billions of dollars invested. And then they go out and they start handing out contracts to Tatis and Machado and everybody else in between, where they just start handing out monster contracts. And yeah, it hasn't worked out for them, right? They haven't gotten that series since all this has happened. But you can't tell me that, I mean, if you look at the valuation of that ball club before they bought and what it is now, all that money that they injected into that ball club and into their lineup has jump-started and really put a lightning bolt in the valuation of that ball club. And if we're looking at what, like Jerry Reinsdorf, when he bought the team in 1980 and what the valuation is now, over $2 billion, this is a long-term investment. You want to kickstart that valuation. You want to kick that. You want to kickstart what's coming back to you in the end, right? And I don't see any reason why, if they started that now, why would that hinder Ishbia from buying shares later on, and why those shareholders that are currently there wouldn't be all for it, because when they're ready to sell, their valuation is going to be higher for them. So it doesn't really make sense to me. I don't feel like that's based in reality for a guy who's got fuck you money.
Yeah, and to add to that, it's not like this guy like doesn't is like planning to like completely need to take over the team. Like Ishbia, from what we know, owns at least 20% of the team already. Like, it's not like Ishbia is just coming into this. Like, he's owned shares. He's been a minority of the White Sox. Minority owner of the...
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Lux Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Lux Cafe.
White Sox for a while.
And it's only going to grow.
Right. And obviously he's going to become the majority owner here very shortly. But yeah, like, this is
not soon enough. I mean, when your first opportunity is 2029, which,
5 years. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, and this is clearly a guy who wants to win. Like, this is a sports guy from Michigan State. Like, he wants to win.
He passed up an opportunity to buy the Minnesota Twins outright to be the sole owner.
Right.
And now he's part of an ownership group. Make that make sense. If there isn't a plan in place, right?
Yeah, I don't. I think they're going to spend this. They're going to spend this year. Maybe Jerry doesn't want to spend money, but
Ishbia will. Here's another issue that I have. Like, there are people out there that are like, you know, Jerry and his sons still have controlling interest in the team. When you put all their shares together, they still have the majority, you know, they're the majority shareholders. If they're out in a couple years, 4, 5, 6 years, do you really think Jerry Reinsdorf gives a shit about handing out the 8 or 10, 9, 11, 12 million year contract at big dollars? No. If Jonathan Ishbia is like, hey, I'm going to raise the value of your shares so that by the time it comes for me to buy you out, you're going to have even more money in your pocket?
Yeah.
I don't know. Doesn't make sense to me. And I'm not some big financial guru. Maybe I'm playing this a little too lightly. I don't know. Maybe it's too... make it sound too easy, but I'm sure if I was in that room, you could sell me on that.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I would be shocked if they didn't spend. I'm not saying that they're going to go out there and get Tucker, Schwarber, and a lot. Like, that's not what I'm saying is going to happen, but I'd be shocked if they didn't spend some amount of money.
Was there last night on a Tuesday night. Go ahead.
And, like, even Jerry, I think you could get them. Like, and people rip Jerry, but, like, in 21, like, their payroll was, like, top 15. Like, Jerry's issue hasn't always been that he won't spend. Jerry's issue is that, like, John Danks burned him a while ago, and he won't give contracts longer than 5 years.
And that's the thing. The long contract, especially for a pitcher, is not something he wants to do.
Yeah. And, like, I get that, but, like, that has prevented them from getting star players. And so you get, like, every year they'd bring in this, like, free agent class of, like, John Jay, Yonder Alonso, of, like, Band-Aids. And they never, like, truly go out and get a star player in free agency.
Alonso wasn't even a Band-Aid. Alonso was a I mean, dude, you could say what you want. Like, they actually thought Lonzo might be hopeful to the team.
No, he was there for Machado.
He was there for Manny. Manny fucking gaslighted the shit out of them for that, and it fucking worked. He got his brother-in-law a fucking deal, made him a bunch of fucking money while he went and fucking played for the Padres. Basically, last minute, at the midnight hour. Well, whatever. Anywho, I don't know. I feel like when I read things that say, unless there's some kind of financial thing that I'm not seeing that's going to prevent Ishbia from dumping money, and I'm not saying it necessarily has to go into the payroll, but he puts it in other places, which frees up Jerry to feel more comfortable about, I don't have to spend money over here, over there, because fucking Jonathan Ishbia is doing it. I'm okay with putting a little bit of money in the, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're spending other places, so it's really the ownership group's money that's going into payroll. It's still taking some of the financial burden away from the rest of the ownership group. So I don't know. I feel like there are ways around
it. You can't take it with you. You might as well spend it now. Go out a hero.
Well, he's going to leave it with his kids.
Well, yeah.
But that's the other thing. I mean, he's told his kids, like, sell the White Sox. When I'm gone, sell the White Sox. Keep the Bulls.
Yeah.
And there's reasons to understand that, because the Bulls, no matter how bad they are, seem to sell out, like, every season.
So, good thing about Sox fans is teams ask, they don't show up. Which is good, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, there's something to be said about you're showing me a product that's not worth paying for. And
right, exactly.
Quite frankly.
Take a turn dollar.
It is what it is. And I'm not knocking anybody for, doing what they do, going to games. But, I was at the game last night. There couldn't have been more than a couple thousand people there on a Tuesday night with near perfect weather. And Martin Perez shoving, and Colson Montgomery going through another power surge, and people still don't want to be there.
Yeah,
they want to see a product that's going to. I mean, it's been much more fun lately, but they want to see a level of consistency before they go out and spend their hard-earned dollars. That's just what it is. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, agree.
And Wolf bringing up a great point here. Jamie Navarro, Jaime. Burned him too, and he did. It was a tough contract.
Come on. Yeah, in recent memory, the Sox have not had great success with free agent contracts. None of their bullpen pitchers worked. Grandal sucked, and Benny's not much better.
Yeah, I mean, granted, Benny being the largest contract in White Sox history is still only $75 million over 5 years. So
do you think that's broken this offseason? If you had to put a guess on it, do they break the $75 million mark?
I hope so. I don't know that it'll happen. Right now, I'm just kind of playing a little devil's advocate with some of the stuff I'm hearing out there about don't expect Ishbia to spend more. And, some of these people might be 100% right. I'm not claiming to know anything more than the next guy. I'm just giving you the reasons why I wouldn't be so confident about claims of them not doing it, unless I'm missing some sort of, rule or law on how things work in baseball or finances and whatnot, and multiple owners and how that whole situation works. I'm just kind of throwing out some ideas of why I think they do and why I don't think Ishbia is handcuffed as much as some people would like to say or believe in what reality is. I don't know. To be honest with you, I was thinking about reaching out to Beef because he is, he's not a baseball finance guy, but he's a bean counter. And, he's probably got a better idea of this. I was thinking about reaching out to him and bringing him on the show next week, if even only for a few minutes, to kind of give us some ideas and some thoughts on that. I'd like to pick his brain, but, so it is what it is. What do we have up next, brother?
I wanted to bring this up, but it's not on the list. Martin Perez, we talked on this last week. They have to pick up his option next year, right? It's $10 million, mutual option. I would guess that's like a guarantee that he's back on the team next year.
I mean, from what I saw last night, I'd have done it right then and there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and he's going to have all offseason to really make sure that he's recovered from this injury? Absolutely. Absolutely. $10 million for a guy who was shoving the way he was last night? That's nothing.
I will add that it is a mutual option, so he could decline out of that. But I think from the Sox standpoint, that's an easy 10. That's an easy pickup.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I don't know that he would decline because of the time that he missed this year. I don't know that anybody else gives him that kind of money.
Right. Agree. So. He's also getting older. So if they do spend, let's talk about this. Would you rather see them go out and spend on the pitching staff or the offense? With the offense hitting the way it is right now, putting up the numbers the way it is. I mean, they're like a top 15 offense in baseball since the break. Would you rather them go out and find a first baseman, like a Schwarber type, or like a Dylan Cease?
I think I'm looking like I'm looking at a Pete Alonso type, because even if they're not planning on being hugely successful for another couple of years, it is going to require a multi-year deal to sign a guy like Pete Alonso. I think, you know, moth flying around. I'm making a visit on the screen here. My thought is if you get a Pete Alonso now, and even if it takes a little bit of extra money to sway him to come here. Now, when we're talking about guys not wanting to have their option picked up on a mutual option and declining, maybe they stick around. Maybe they see the difference. It's already been talked about that there are some changes in the way the rest of the players in baseball view the White Sox in recent history. It's been pretty well known that a lot of guys just didn't want to come here because they knew what type of organization this is. And now that focus has kind of changed. I've read a couple articles in the last 3 weeks, a month here or so that say that, you know, guys around the league are talking about how the White Sox organization has changed, the coaching staff has changed, the analytics department has changed, and knowing that there is new ownership with money involved has kind of changed the perception of the organization. So, yeah, I think I would rather go out and get a solid bat or two to bolster this lineup. And with the amount of pitchers that are out there, even if these guys aren't fully healthy by next year, and we're seeing a lot of guys on pitch limits, inning limits, there's a stable of guys that as long as, you know, half of them come back healthy and do what they were doing before they were hurt, they've got a lot to work with in that department. Do I think we should probably maybe sign a guy for a year or two here and there? Absolutely. Like, don't get me wrong. You got to bridge that gap, right? But I don't know, man. I would rather see the bats come sooner than later. You've got to start changing the perception of the team overall in general, and you've got to start changing the perception of the fan base if you want things to get moving forward. We're talking about building new stadiums. We're talking about becoming competitive. We're talking about not being record loss teams, right? And you've got to change that image and change it quickly.
Does a guy like Murakami, I don't know how much you've looked into him, but like high profile Japanese guy, is he a guy that like you think the Sox, instead of like an Alonso or a Schwarber, he's 25 years old. Like, is he a guy you would like the Sox to go after? Because he's a name that's been thrown around, and obviously, like, you have to talk him out of the Dodgers, right? Like, that's the obvious thing.
That was going to be my first comment on that, is, like, there's a history of guys like him, and it doesn't necessarily have to be the Dodgers. I mean, you know, they tend to like the West Coast in general. I think it might just be for the fact that it's closer to home. It's easier right for them to get home when they want to go home, even though they're going to spend 9 months with the ball club. But, you know, all-star breaks and you know, maybe other issues where if there's a family issue and you need to get home for whatever reason, you know, like that's typically something they do. It's not necessarily the norm. I mean, we had guys like, oh my God, I can't believe we had Gooch, you know, who came here, but I don't know if it's really the best. It's not the best reference because he'd been here in the States before the White Sox actually got him, at least a handful of times. But, you know, you look at Ichiro and all those years that he played in Seattle. You look at, you know, the plethora of guys who are playing for the Dodgers and have played for the Dodgers over the years. It just seems like Tadahito. I bring up Gooch, and Wolf in the chat brings it up. That you know, we could use Gooch as an ambassador. But I don't know, man. I mean, I like the idea because now we're not talking about a guy who's 31, 32, 33 years old like we're talking about with Schwarber and some of these other guys. You know, I've heard the name Ryan O'Hearn thrown around out there. You know, again, a little bit younger, but not necessarily the guy I'm looking to throw a multi-year deal at right now if we're hoping to be competitive in, you know, 2, 3, 4 years here. So what do you think about bringing him over here or trying to bring over here? What do you think it would take to get him to come to the White Sox?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the situation either, and I should be, because I don't remember if it's Sasaki situation where he's like a prospect. I think he's old enough that he's just going as a free agent. He's like a young Ho Lee. And so if that's the case, it's a lot easier to make, you know, you can just outbid everybody. Yeah, I mean, supposedly they made an offer to Sasaki, which, like, Tadahito Iguchi would make that joke, but, like, he was involved in that process. Yeah, I don't – he to me, makes, like, a ton of sense. Like, he would be great, you know, like, that fits the timeline better. But he's a guy nobody's talking about. And I just think that, you know, if you are truly going to spend, you want to spend a ton of money this offseason, like, that's the guy I'd go get.
I mean, I could see it.
He just mashes. Like, he's a true – Wolf's asking for a quick spot here, just been called power. The Japanese Aaron Judge. Like, he just mashes baseball.
Yeah, power, big-time power. Big-time power, but also hits for decent average. Just basically, I'm not real sure what he looks like in the field. I haven't done enough research on him.
Apparently he plays third.
But he is known for swinging a very heavy stick. Extremely, like, ball explodes off the bat.
Guy's, I mean, got, in eight, like, season, he's got velos, 253 you know, home runs in Japan. That's, he had 56 home runs in 22.
That's pretty okay. Hit
tanks.
Pretty okay. 56 home runs in a year. It's okay.
141 game season, by the way. It's not even, that's not even a full season. He's got 1,000 OPS this year. Like, this dude is legit.
Oh, by the way, you asked who was going to be the position player to pitch in tonight's game. Corey Lee is currently pitching.
Darn.
Dang.
Oh, we're only in the eighth. We still got to get to the ninth. No, we don't. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. I know baseball. Could still be Curtis Meade. See, now, this wouldn't be funny. I was going to say this would be funny, but it totally wouldn't. It would be like really crappy if, like,
he's throwing 79 mile an hour sliders, by the way. A foot and a half outside the zone.
Is that a slider and just a fastball that just desperately missed?
Yeah. So, but yeah. You know, it's fun. It's just.
I still think we see a Curtis Meade appearance.
There's a 58 mile an hour slider. I'm just waiting for the EFIS. Where's the EFIS, Corey? Like, come on, buddy. Catcher, you got to have a good EFIS. Oh, he threw that one behind him. On a 3-0 pitch for the walk. I think there was even some smiles exchanged. Corey Lee didn't feel real good about it, but the batter, who was that? I think that was, who the hell was that? Was that Pasquatch? No.
Yastrzemski, maybe?
It was. No.
Isbell?
I don't know.
I think it was Isbell.
Might have been.
Nope. It was Yastrzemski.
Yastrzemski's on second.
It was on. Oh, I'm totally wrong. Tolbert.
Ah, that's who. No, Tolbert's
nope,
up now.
Oh, nope. Lofton. Nick Lofton. Nick Lofton. I think Lofton. I just named about 14 different Royals and it was wrong every single time.
Yeah, I don't know. And it's just. It's this whole thing with the Royals. Like, they're not the best team in the AL Central. But we just cannot beat them. We just can't beat them. It's so frustrating.
Yeah, I thought it was those damn Falcons, but we can't even beat them at home.
No, we can't. Kauffman's a beautiful stadium. I know they're talking about possibly building another one here in the near future, but it's that's tough. Like, if you've never been to Kauffman, I would say get there before they do anything with it. And I know I'm not. I hate. I don't like the Royals, but Kauffman's a nice state. They got a great state.
I want really. So I desperately want to go to Kansas City just to go to the Negro League Baseball Hall of Fame.
You know what? I tried to get there. We were in Kansas City a couple of years ago, right after COVID. My wife had won an award, and her company, their corporate headquarters at the time was just outside of Kansas City, one of the suburbs there, and they put us up in the brand new Lowe's hotel downtown. It was awesome, but we only had barely 2.5 days there, and it was all filled with all kinds of stuff that they had us doing. So I didn't get an opportunity, but we were talking about doing that. And then we took a ride down the highway, and we perched ourselves up on the hill outside of where Arrowhead and Kauffman are. And, you know, that was kind of cool, but it was like an hour before we had to be at the airport. So anywho, you got anything else you want to touch on tonight, or do you want to move into, oh, we actually thought we did. Did we have one more talking point that we wanted to get to?
You want to hit a roster expansion?
Yeah, let's do that. I mean, we kind of started to touch on it, but.
Yeah, we're going to miss the deadline if we don't.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that real quick. We got a handful
of minutes. We'll round it out. We did touch on it last week, but.
Yeah, I think now with Luis Robert being out, that might change our opinions a little bit on what's going on. But, yeah, why don't you go ahead and throw out there what you think. I mean, obviously, you get three players coming up here in about a week. But you can throw three out there and maybe throw one or two other guys if you want on you know, maybes.
So my notes last week had Corey Lee, Tim Elko, and Will Robertson. Two of those guys are currently on the big league roster, which is right. Great. So, like, Elko's a name. I mentioned Jacob Gonzalez, Brian Ramos. Those are hitters that I think could be coming up. On the pitching side, like, McDougal's an interesting one. I think he's got a real good shot. And then there's Palette. I don't know what Addison Coffey's doing. I should know that, but he's been rumored to be coming up all year. Iriarte makes sense too. Burke. Burke or Cannon in a bullpen role makes sense. I'm just throwing names at the wall.
I'm unless I see something in the next week from them where they're at, I'm pretty much done watching Cannon and Burke for the rest of the season. And I know, like, it doesn't matter this year, right? And that was a big part of our show earlier tonight, was like, doesn't really matter where they end up the rest of the season. But at the same time, I feel like, man, this is the time of year where we hope to see somebody who hasn't had a chance get a chance, right? I don't know that the White Sox are on this. We don't want to start clocks anymore. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh my God, don't start his service clock by bringing him up. But then it's like one of the reasons that we do bring guys up at the end of the season. Sure, it starts the clock, but, you know, we can almost shut the clock down too. The only thing this does is change an option year. It will take an option year away because you do have MLB service time. But, you know, it doesn't necessarily keep the service clock running. There's not going to be enough time at the end of the season to do that. If you don't know the ins and outs on it, I say go read up on it. But I personally would like to see guys who have not been up with the MLB club yet come up. That's just my thought.
I am with you. No, I just threw those guys' names out there because there's not a ton of pitchers. And also, either of the two pitchers that were picked up in the Hauser deal, I could see coming up.
There you go. Now that is, that makes a lot of sense to me.
Peoples and Davitt.
I really like Davitt. I really want to see. Actually, I like both of them, but I really want to see what Davitt's going to bring to the plate for the White Sox here, and I think he's got some pretty good stuff.
Agree.
So what about how about the position player side of the ball? Do you think we're going to get two pitchers and one position player, or two position players and one pitcher? Or
I thought you could only bring up one pitcher. I thought
that was that what? Yeah, you're right. That's it. Because the bullpen has to be limited. So right, my apologies. Who do you want to see come up on the position player side?
Yeah, like I said, I mean it's going to be like Robertson. And
well, Robertson's here.
I think Elko's a kind of a lock. I don't know why, but I feel like he's gonna come up. Sorry, I'm being a hater again. I'm trying to think if they have anybody else that like Gonzalez and Ramos make sense. Like maybe Drew Baker, who has not been great in Charlotte, but he's a speedy outfielder. I don't know. Charlotte is pretty depleted right now on the offensive side.
They are. They are indeed. I have heard from some people who really want to see Sam Antonacci. And I want your thoughts on that because I have my own. And I really like this kid. But I'll leave my thoughts until after you say what you're going to say on Sam Antonacci.
So, I have conflicting interests because he's a guy that I'm not sure the lack of power concerns me. Like, I get it. The dude hits it well into the gaps. Like, he's not just a singles hitter. He's not like Luis Arraez, but the lack of power concerns me, especially when you have as crowded of an infield as they have, and the hitters they have already in the infield, like Sosa and Montgomery, and like I think Chase Mydroth does a lot of the things that Antonacci does. The issue is Antonacci went to Glenwood High School, which is like 20 minutes away from me. Grew up in Springfield, which is I work in Springfield.
Yeah, he can go to like Coastal Carolina for college, I think.
Started at Lincoln Land, which is decent baseball school. College around here. Played at for the Lucky Horseshoes, which is the local. Like, dudes, you know, grew up around here. So I'm obviously rooting for him, but like, as a realist, the lack of power concerns me.
So my thing on Sam Antonacci is he's only had a handful of time in Birmingham. At this point, right? And he's been raking. Like, I'm not going to dice it up any other way. Dude showed no signs of slowing down. I mean, he was absolutely killing it in A ball, gets the bump to double A, and just keeps raking, right? But at the same time, it's only been, you know, weeks at this point. You could look at his batting average is stellar. His on-base percentage is stellar. He's got a decent OPS, and I think it's in the 800s, if I'm not mistaken. Getting between 850, 860, somewhere in there. I haven't looked at his stats
in a couple of days. In Birmingham.
There you go. I looked at it a few days ago. I knew it couldn't change too much, but all those things are great. But do we want to overexpose a guy at this point in the season? And that's kind of where my head is. I don't feel like it's necessary. And he's also another guy who's young and you know, he's not, you know, say like 19, like some of these guys, you were like, oh my God, we can't touch him now. But like, I don't want to overexpose him. And he is one of those guys where maybe you don't want to start the clock on him right away.
Yeah. And the issue too is you don't want to take, I think it's going to be tough for him to get playing time here. Like if you bring him up now, like, how much playing time is going to be available for him? I don't know. And so I think you'd rather just have him sit in Birmingham for the rest of the year and play it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's my take anyway.
I agree 100%. So I think you're right. I think Elko was probably, I almost feel like that's a foregone conclusion. Like Elko is going to be one of the position players, especially since, I mean, just in the last couple of days, Will Venable was quoted, it's like, we don't really have anybody that we're going to lock in the first base position for the rest of the season. And he's shown it because, you know, it feels like every other day there's a different guy playing there. Sometimes two guys in the same game. You know, you got Sosa who goes from second base to first base in the middle of a game. You know what I mean? You got Miguel Vargas playing there a handful of the time. You know, it just doesn't feel like that is something that is going to be sustainable. And why not give Elko an opportunity to come up here and see if he can? I mean, I don't feel like they did him right the first time they brought him up earlier this season. I mean, his playing time was sporadic and people were like, he's a bum. Well, you know, it's kind of hard to play once a week, twice a week, and, you know, you're going from starting every day to playing twice a week, and it is what it is. I'd like to see him get a decent run here at the end of the season. So that's my thought.
Yeah, I don't hate it.
You got some hot takes or heaters this week?
I don't know if I have a good heater.
I'll take either one, buddy.
Shout out to Shane Smith. Back to all-star form. That'll be my heater. You look good.
All right. Good enough. I'm going to go pitching, too. I'm going to say Martin Perez. Two really solid outings back-to-back, especially yesterday. Like I said, possibly the best start from a White Sox pitcher the entire season. 85 pitches through seven. Unfortunately, got the hook and didn't get the win. But, man, just...
He was, like, the first pitcher ever, I think, to pitch, like, seven-plus, not give up a run, and leave the game with a lead of runs or more. And
in a one-hitter. There's the Ephus from Corey Lee, who is back out. He's back out for the top of the ninth.
My Curtis Mead bet.
Yeah, so... Oh, he just threw a 71-mile-an-hour slider right down the heart of the plate. And then had to cover first on the play. Put him in the pen. Let's bring up one of these other catchers we got and put Corey Lee in the pen for the rest of the season.
Listen, I don't want the guy to get Tommy John, but like in 5 years, I want to see Billy Carlson pitch in one of these games. Hopefully when we're up by 15. And, like, I want to see him throw, like, 91. Like, it'd be fun. Awesome. It'd be electric. They're not going to let him do it. But it would be fun.
It would be fun. And you know what? I think that's a great place to end the show. Billy Carlson throwing 91 in a blowout game.
Sox, after all, it had to end with Billy Carlson.
All right. Well, listen, as always, I want to thank all of our chatters for checking in. You guys are awesome. We appreciate you.
Especially Big Bob's beepers. By the way,
Elbows. He was coming in throwing bows. So, yes, awesome to see you guys. Really appreciate it. Seeing a lot of our regulars, seeing some new faces and some new chatters. We really enjoy that. You guys keep us going week in and week out. Keep us honest. We appreciate that. If you appreciate the content, as always, Super Chats are open anytime we are live, including our other shows, which would be James and Ian for the Future Sox podcast, as well as the Future Sox Roundup with a rotating cast of characters, mostly Elijah and Jeff, but we've been seeing a lot more of Dylan not cease up there with him as well. If you guys enjoy our interviews, you can find those here on the YouTubes as well as all of our recorded live shows. If you are not into the live thing, if you can't catch us live, you'd like to listen later on in podcast form, you can find that on any of your podcast streaming services. As well as you can check our website, www.futuresoxnet, for all our links and our Twitter page as well. Twitter at Future Sox. You can always catch our exclusive content by paying $2 a month Patreon donation, and you can find all our stuff that's locked behind the firewall. Our guys put a lot of work into that, so if you're looking for that kind of stuff, check it out. Less than a cup of coffee for the entire month. Anything else you'd like to add tonight, Jacob?
No.
Are you laughing at me?
No, I'm on Twitter, and so Colorado State's got a kid. I don't think I can show this. There's no way this picks it up. Oh, it does. Shout out that dude.
What is it?
So that's his name.
Jordan McIntyre?
Guide. No, not that. The big one.
Oh, that's like 32 letters.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And then the official pronunciation side says good luck. I've had to deal with that at UIS. And yeah, good luck is hilarious.
That's awesome. That's sweet. That's what I was chuckling about. Well, perfect. Well, for my co-host.
What a weird way to wrap this.
Yeah, you know what? We shoot from the cuff around here. If you don't know that by now, you don't belong here. But anyways, thanks for checking in. For my co-host, Jacob Thome. You can find him on X at jthome21. I am Danny Miller at Danny Miller FS. Much appreciated. We look forward to seeing you guys all again next week. Until then, as always, go White Sox.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.